Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
You may be seated. I know why you were standing now, Mark. It just dawned on me. You were standing in anticipation for me to say, would everybody stand for the reading of the Word of God? So, would everybody stand for the reading of the Word of God? In 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to start this reading in verse 1. Beloved, now I write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth was standing out of water and in water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both in the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Let's pray. Father, your word is light as a lamp unto our feet. Let us not fear, but let us come with anticipation and really, Lord, a willingness to learn and to grow and to be stretched in our own thinking minds, Lord, that we may grasp these finite minds, the infinite wisdom that you have. Bless our time together, Father, we pray. We just pray that you would help us, Lord, to receive from your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of the message is, Why the Delay? Well, if you notice again, this is his second epistle. He was trying to stir up or wake up, arouse the mind, pure minds, unsoiled, uncontaminated by the seduction of the affluence of the world. Scoffers will come in the last days, living by their own lusts. Or really, like Paul says, and I like the way Paul puts it, he says, for many of whom walk, I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. It also gave us examples of how God did intervene into the creation of man, and there was a judgment. It was the flood. But in that day of judgment is known as the day of the Lord. But see, here we are. Nothing seems to have changed. Evil still triumphs, seemingly. It always seems like you know, many times you're either saying, God, when are you going to judge the world? But then the reality is when you sin, you go, oh Lord, thank you for your forgiveness and your patience with me. Well, if you will, that's kind of a hint towards why God delays. Why is he delaying the judgment? Well, let me say this or ask this question. You think about this. Many of you are young, but just think if Christ came, say, 20 years ago, how many of you would be saved? 15 years ago? 10? 5? See, you look at it that way, you go, well, I'm thankful the Lord did delay his coming. But still, when you see evil triumph, it's hard to, if you will, be patient. Especially you mothers and fathers with your young ones. I can't tell you how many young parents now say, oh Lord, come. I'm ready. You can come. I'm ready. I'm done. I don't want my kids to grow up anymore in this world. But see, there is something here that we have to look at and really be joyful in understanding these things, because again, it shows and reveals the character of God. Now really in verse 8 is where we're going to start. And Peter says, But beloved, but you who are so loved by God, you will never fully understand that love. You'll have all eternity to discover it, but you who are loved by God. Now, I won't also not mention that I'm sure Peter felt the same way, but still, ultimately, it is God. Don't forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Reminds me of the old joke. This man was talking to the Lord. Lord, is it true that you owned all the cattle on 1,000 hills? And he goes, yes. Is it true that you own everything in the world? Silver, gold, riches, everything? Yes. Lord, is it true that 1,000 years is like one day and one day is like 1,000 years? Is it time like that for you? Yes. Well, Lord, will you do me a favor then? Will you do me a blessing? Will you give me $1 trillion worth of gold? Yes. Really? When? In a day. I mean, time conception on us to God is completely different. One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Moses put it this way, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or even you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night. It's an interesting twist that we have. Why? Because we were created, but we were created with eternity in our hearts. You are immortal. It's mind-boggling. You have a beginning, but you don't have an end. Oh, you may be in a place with that ending. That, again, is a choice that we all make. But ultimately, you will live forever and ever and ever and ever. But 1,000 years is but a day. So understand, in the delay of God, God's concept of time is vastly different from ours. God created time. He's not bound by time. If he were bound by time, then he would change, because time changes all things. God does not change. I am the Lord, I do not change, he says in Malachi. It speaks of the immutability of God. He never differs from himself. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no variation, there's no shadow, just as James says. He comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation, shadow, or turning. He is the Creator and the Lord of time, for he is the Alpha, the beginning, and the end, says the Lord, who is and was and who is to come. He is the Almighty. He never learns. He's not sitting down learning from us, going, so that's how these creatures act and react. No, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. He knows our thoughts are far off. He knows us. Every bit of us. Everything in time, if you will, is like a film that is laid out before him. And everything that he can go to from the beginning to the end, he doesn't have to wait for it to be run through the projector, if you will. He already sees it. So never being taught, his thoughts are way above our thoughts, as Isaiah says. Paul says, oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? His time, really, is in his hands. I like what Isaiah says. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Meaning this, gang, that everything has a place in his time. Everything is working out according to his not only time frame, but plan. Perfectly in sync. Oh, he showed this in creation. Just how everything has its purpose. How there's a time clock on the wall. How we have seasons. How we have years. Reminders to all of us, not only of our mortality here, but also his ability to be beyond time, because he's created time. And he knows time. He knows your time and he knows my time. So understanding this, that God's concept of time is different from ours, is part of the delay. The second thing I want you to take note of is in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. That word slack, it doesn't mean he's delaying because of apathy or not caring or confusion. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's timing. His promise, well, just as Jesus said when he left, he goes, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself. So understanding that the slack is for something else is because he's patiently waiting, long suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. I like the way Ezekiel says it. Feel, if you will, the emotion of God. He says, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die? Another passage in Ezekiel, he says, for I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies, says the Lord God. Therefore, turn and live. It's God's desire that all would come to repentance. Paul says, as in Timothy, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God's delay is because he is patiently waiting for all who would come to him. So not only it's his timing, it's also God's heart that all men would turn to him, even knowing the outcome already. See, this is where really it's simple for me to understand in my little mind, because I put God in his proper place. See, we're all predestined to be saved. That doesn't mean we didn't have a choice. That means God already saw the choice being made. God knows those who are his. That should comfort us. Because remember, Jesus loses none. When God's got you in his hands, he's got you. Stay there. Rest. Rest in him. Now, if you notice, come to repentance. It means to change one's mind. Not regret, because that means I'm sorry I got caught. It's not remorse, it's just hopelessness. It's an understanding of where you are, that you are lost, that you're empty, that you have, if you will, no purpose. that pleasure is not pleasurable because you realize what sin is. Sin causes damage, not only to you, but to those around you. Sin is the cancer of humanity, the real true cancer. And there is no pulling it out, not by self-medication. There's only one that took it upon himself. And because of him, there's hope. Not remorse. It's hope. Hope in the understanding that there is salvation in one, that he put it all upon himself on the cross. But you know these things. But see, it's good for us to understand this is the heart of God. This is why the delay. No empty seats in heaven. When that last person comes to salvation, as the story goes, then the end comes. So, again, I invite anybody here that does not know the Lord, you may be that last person and we all want to get out of here. Would you please just come know the Lord so we can go home? The word come means to make room. See, the sinner makes room by putting away pride and self-reliance in their heart, meekly receiving the truth of God's word, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that there is only salvation in one. That the gift is from God through Christ. That if we confess with our mouth and believe in the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. Seeing what he has done, and then it's making room for him to get out of the way. And you know, really, that if you will, if we went on to this, this really is what it means to be sanctified too. It's get out of the way. Get out of the way. He's perfect in all his works. He'll be perfect in the work he's doing in you. Still, it comes to the question, when will he come? Well, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Now, you've seen, I'm sure you have, people get packages now all the time, right? Get them on their porch. But there's been those that, you know, people have light fingers. They see a package on the porch and they go take it, right? Well, some swag person came up with the idea of putting a little small explosion in the package because they had it videotaped. The person comes running up, grabs the package, and it explodes in his hand. Nothing big, but just enough to scare the daylights out of the person. They start to run the other way, right, without the package. It's the old saying that if you knew when a thief would come, Jesus said you would be ready for that thief. If the master knew when the thief was coming, then he would be ready for that thief. Now, I remember there was a rash of robberies in my neighborhood in California. And what they were doing was they were climbing in the backyard of people's homes and breaking through the sliding glass door and taking whatever they want. But the houses they would not even attempt is when they had a big dog. Well, behold, I had a big dog. Nobody would go into that backyard. There's a sense of security when you know that. There's no thief that's going to come in. But there was a thief, if you will. His name was Ramirez. He's known as the Night Stalker. And what was eerie about him, and I won't go into detail, all he looked for was an open window, even if it was cracked. He didn't care if people were there. That's when it gets scary. It's when a thief will come knowing that people are home. But see, when the thief, really, if you will, is the Lord himself, then there's comfort in us of understanding who that thief is. But for those that don't have that comfort, then again, it brings out even more why he's delaying. Not just because he's in control of time, not just because of, again, his patience for all to come to knowledge of him as Savior. It's also, if you will, look, thief in the night in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. That word great noise means a whirling, a hissing, a rushing, a crackling sound. And the elements will melt with a fervent heat. That word elements, if you will, it's just the basic building blocks. You with me? That word melt means dissolve, but it also means to loose or to unloose. Still with me? Fervent heat denotes a violent, consuming heat. Do you remember that we've already mentioned that in verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment? And earlier he says that it's preserved. What's preserved? Well, we understand the building blocks of creation. They're atoms. And it's these atoms that are moving around. Did you know that there's energy in atoms? In fact, it's said that if you take that chair and you took those atoms and you made the nucleus the size of a basketball, and that which revolves around the nucleus would be so wide that we could just walk through it, no problem. Isn't that interesting? Because see, the atoms are moving. Everything in that chair that you're sitting in really is moving. I mean, it's mind-boggling because you think it's solid. It's not solid. It's made of atoms. But what's really weird about atoms, and really, you know, I'm not a scientist, but there's no reason, there's so much they should be repelling against each other. Now, you know what man has done? They discovered how to what? To split the atom. And the energy that's released from that. We know it now, because the first thing they used it for was an atomic bomb. And it was releasing all that energy. Kapooey. Explosion with fervent heat. So, if you will, what's spoken of here is that it's going to let loose. Now, if that doesn't get your attention, I want to show you something. Go with me in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, beloved. I've added beloved. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. We've come to repentance. We've come to acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We have been forgiven of our sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Don't get hooked on that. He's the beginning of time. He created time, if you will. Let's just get this in our vernacular to understand. He's the beginning. For by Him, get this, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and are on earth, visible and invisible, the atoms. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, because He has no beginning. And in Him, all things consist. All things are held together. All creation is held by Christ. All the atoms, the reason they don't repel, it's why scientists are still trying to figure this out, is because God holds them together. The chair is together because Jesus is holding it together. All creation is held in His hand. You know He's got the whole world in His hand? No, He's got all creation in His hand. Now, see the picture here. See, it's all the handwritten requirements were put on that cross. he knew before time, think this through, because he was the firstborn in the essence of what? Before the creation of time, they saw time. They saw it from the beginning to the end. They saw everything that would happen. They saw Hitler. They saw Napoleon. They saw everything. They saw your life over here. They saw it. They knew everything, every detail about your life. And the Trinity must have got together and said, is this worth it? And the plan was hatched before they even began creation, that he would be the firstborn and born on this line, that he would take on the punishment of the world. Now think with me, the Creator who created it all knew that he was going to come and he was going to die for humanity, the ones that he created. The ones, if you will, he's holding your body together. He's holding all creation together. Of those hands, those wonderful hands, they became flesh. And what did they do to his hands? They pierced them. They pierced his hands. Still holding on to creation. Remember, even on that cross, all he had to do was let go. That's all he had to do. But he didn't. Now we're here saying, oh, why don't you come? Why, get this over with. And he would say to each of us, not yet. There's more that will come. There's more. I'm not letting go until that last one comes. To me. Now picture him looking at all creation. We keep thinking that yes, God is just and God is righteous. Yes, he is. There will be a judgment. But just as twice he wept, Jesus did, he wept at what? He wept because Jerusalem did not acknowledge their sin. They did not acknowledge the Messiah that was before them. And because of that, judgment was coming. He wept again at what? Lazarus' tomb. Why did he weep at Lazarus' tomb? Because they were people without hope. And they were still under the curse of death. And in the end, if you will, just like it says in Revelation, there will be silence in heaven. There's a moment here, and if you can get your imagination going, it's not too hard, that this one who knew what was going to happen from the beginning, when he created everything, that he was going to be nailed on that cross, is now holding everything still together, and he's not going to let go of it. And it's going to be that last second, that last moment, that last micro minute. That he's going to look at all creation. Don't ever forget this. Ever. With tears in God's eyes, he lets it go. Because there's no more coming. And it all explodes. That's the real Big Bang. This is the heart of God. This is why there's such delay. This is why Peter says, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Everything that man digs in the ground for, everything that man puts in the sky, everything that man elevates himself as if they are deity, everything that man spends his time on this earth, this rock for, everything, he misses the point that God has put eternity in their hearts. And all they see is the rocks. But we are all like an unclean thing, and our righteousness are like filthy rags. We all will fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. But as in the first time, it'll happen the second time. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth His Son. God's timing is always perfect. Always on time. And what should that do for us? Well, look, we're all little whiners, aren't we? Why doesn't God do this? Why doesn't God do that? Why do I have to endure this? Why do I endure that? Well, it's for all of us again to take note of this, that this is the worst we're gonna get it, gang. This is our hell, and it's not that bad. Why? Because He says, I'll walk with you through this. Everything you go through, I'm right beside you. Remember, I'm holding it all together. I'm holding your life together. I'm holding you in my hands. Don't worry, you're gonna get through this. Look, this is a rock, and this, your tents, your skin, your body, it's going to wear out. That's okay. That's not what you're made for. Your citizenship is with me forever and ever and ever. Now it's time to work. Now I'm using you. I'm using you to, again, to display to the world my loving kindness, my care, my concern. The hope that is in you is me. That's your hope. Be still. No, I'm God. There's no other. I'm your good shepherd. I'll walk through all the valleys with you. Just stay with me. Stop looking at yourself. Don't worry about your career. I've got it. Don't worry about your kids. I got them. I'm not telling you to stop praying, though. You keep praying. But everything you're worried about, it's going to dissolve. Everything. Except people. Oh, their body does, but not them. They're eternal. It's all about destination here. And I am the ticket master. Nobody gets to stay with me unless they come to me. And you are my examples of those who have come. So look up. Stop looking down as if you're beaten. You're not beaten. I won. You're victorious. You might not feel like it, but it's the truth. Live as King's children. As victorious ones, as living hope ones, as bearers of truth. What else? Well, there's a lot. But really, I'll just conclude with what Paul says. It says, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief." No, we don't see Him as a thief. We see Him as our Redeemer, our Savior. Our God, who has us in His hands, who knows our beginning from our end, who knows everything about us, and He still loves us. Wonderful. Now I understand his delay. He's got his reasons. I can live with that. And now can I go forth in that? And that's for all of us. It's always about this, gang. What am I living for? There's nothing wrong being a good steward, but what am I living for? There's nothing bad about being a hard worker, but what am I living for? There's nothing wrong with devoting time to your children, but what am I living for? There's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself once in a while, but still, what am I living for? And really the better question is who am I living for? And it's something that each of us each day must again consider when we wake up. But this is the day the Lord said, not yet, not yet, but live it for me. I made it for you. Glorious, wonderful Savior, who cares so much, loves so much, paid so much, desires so little. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for these truths. And again, I just pray for all of us that we put our lives in proper perspective. But help us also to understand those that are lost right now. And really, it's true with so many things that are happening, especially in this country. It's easy to get mad and angry at other people. But the reality is, Lord, is many people's destinations are not pleasurable. Damnable. Lord, give us ears to hear and eyes to see. Those that you have placed around us. Lord, help us also understand that it really comes down to every day of understanding that we are weak apart from you. But you are our strength. Help us to be better in tune with you. Help us to understand, Lord, the times and the seasons. But help us to walk in such a way that would glorify your name. And help people to be pointed to you and the price that you paid for them. Thank you. Thank you for seeing me, Lord, in the timescape of eternity. That you saw me and my brothers and sisters here this day in July in the year 2021 and knew that we'd be meeting together. Thank you, Lord, that you have a plan and a purpose for each of us. Thank you, Lord, that your work will be complete. Thank you, Lord, that even through all this, that not that I was worthy, but still, for eternity, I may never fully understand why I came. But blessedness is that you first came. So thankful we come, and thankful I pray we leave. And we ask all these things in His name, our Savior, our Redeemer, our King, our God. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.